Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are here today because God had purposed it like that. I want to thank our senior pastor who gave me this opportunity to minister here today. And I believe God has something for us. All those online, God has something for you. Those present, God has something for us. We should just open our hearts and God is going to speak to us. I would like us, before we sit down, I know we've been standing for the past 10 minutes. But I would like us to, before we sit down, to do our confession. You know, I like the confession. Confessing is a wonderful thing. The devil does not like confessions. The devil wants you to have it in your mind. He doesn't want you to speak it. We always have to speak it. As we speak it, we become one with it. The same thing with the word of God. When you speak the word of God, you become one with the word of God. So you carry that power. And so we are going to do our confession for 2024. Are we ready? Okay, let's go. 2024 is my year of God class exploits and the year of the fourth man. I am God's offspring, and in him I live and move and have my being. I am no ordinary or natural person. I am a supernatural, extraordinary being, born of the seed of God himself. I have the seed of God in me. I produce after God's kind, and I overcome the world. I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. I am the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I represent Jesus. I speak for Jesus. I stand for Jesus. I reign with Jesus. The fourth man will be with me in the fire. What happens to ordinary people may happen to me, but I will have supernatural outcomes. The fourth man has made me a god to the natural elements of this world. Situations ordinary people cannot survive will become my stepping stones to glory testimonies in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The king's shout is within me, and the lion's roar is rolling out of me. I raise the roof with my praise. I cry out and shout for joy. The greatest one lives here. I am feeding and reigning at a higher level. I have spiritual jurisdiction here. I take authority over this. Peace be still in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. This is my year of covenant release. I am under cover. No satanic plan against me, no divination against my household will ever prevail. In due season, and even now, the world will proclaim what wonders God has done for them. I am shielded and protected from every misfortune. I am under cover. The evil viper released into the world in these last days will not touch me. I am under cover. I am inoculated and vaccinated with a booster shot of the covenant. I am under cover. I am prospered, protected, and preserved in the ark. I am under cover. I shake the viper into the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. I am under cover. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 2024 is my year of uncommon provision. I am blessed in all things. Jehovah Jireh will see to it. I am finding favor in unexpected places, and I see the ram caught in a thicket. The barrel of meal shall not waste, and the cruse of oil shall not fail, until the Lord sends rain upon the earth. call descending rain on my field, and there shall be showers of blessings. I am one with God, and I possess what God possesses. I have the spirit of adoption. He is my Father, and I am a joint heir with Christ. I have real estate in heaven, and I have real estate on the earth. I lift my hand up to El Elyon, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. My God has made me rich. This will be a year of broken boundaries and unlimited reach. The boundaries are broken and the leaves are off. See, God has given me the cities, and the walls of Jericho are fallen. Hallelujah. Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things, everything is possible. Kemi Bekondo, I prophesy over you today. Your dwellings are lovely and your homes are beautiful. You will spread out like rivers, like gardens by a river. Swallows that the Lord himself planted, and like strong cedar trees by the waters. You will pour water out of your own buckets and have your own channels of rich blessing and plenty. Your offspring will dwell by many waters, and your life and legacy will be exalted and established. The God who brought you out of captivity has the strength of a wild bull, and he will destroy your adversaries and crush their bones. You are like a lion who couches in rest after winning the victory, and who dares disturb you? Blessed of the Lord is anyone who blesses you, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 2024 is my year of God-class exploits, and this is the year of the fourth man. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, I want us to talk about something which God has placed in my heart about understanding your opponent. You know, there are many people today in life who are being tossed to and fro by their opponents that they have not recognized even. The first thing in a fight is you try to understand your opponent, right? For those of you who are love this boxing or this UFC. You remember before every fight, they have to hype. They have to tell the people, oh, Anthony Joshua is going to fight against Ngannou. I know we have Cameroonians and Nigerians in the hall. But you remember when Anthony Joshua was to fight Ngannou and everybody, they hyped it. They were increasing our anxiety by showing them. Some are saying that, oh, Mike Tyson was training this one and all that stuff. You build a hype, but you know, what you don't see are the films that they watch about their opponents to try to understand them. They try to understand what they do during the first round. Do they come at me strong? Or do they pace? What is their nature? And then begin to counteract. You draw up strategies to counteract their strength. Understanding your opponent is to understand their strength and see how you can overcome that strength, and looking at their weaknesses in the process. Praise the Lord. So this morning I want us to touch on that a bit. 2 Wednesdays ago, our pastor was sharing in the series, The Believer's Authority. For those of you who are attending the Wednesday teachings, are we all there? Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Some of those teachings, when you listen to them, there's an urge in you to go and watch again. The Holy Spirit is there telling you, look, there's something there maybe you might have missed. That's what happened to me yesterday. I said, let me follow one of the messages. Two I just said 2 Wednesdays ago, let me see. Because there was something in that message which really, really blessed me. And so when I was going, remember the pastor was talking about understanding the devil. Be sober. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. If we can open Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 on the overhead, so we have a context of what we are trying to say here. The Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Can we have that in the Easy or the Messenger or one of those versions? Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. No, don't. You have to understand that the devil does not mean good. You know, the world knows how to identify their opponents. And they know how to fight. You see out there, you have these organizations that are fighting for the rights of this, for the rights of that, for the rights of this. They have understood that the only way to win a war is to understand your enemy. And so the Bible is telling us to understand the devil, because we should not give him a foothold. The moment we give him a foothold, oh my goodness, then we are done. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at Luke chapter 22 from verse 31 to 34. Let's get a context there. Luke chapter 22 from verse 31 to 34. So the Bible says, Simon, stay on your toes. Satan has tried his best to separate all of you from me, like chaff from wheat. Simon, I have prayed for you, in particular, that you not give in or give out. When you have come through the time of testing, turn to your companions and give them a fresh start. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This was Jesus talking to Simon. As we all know, the Bible always told us that Jesus always spent time alone in prayer. And while he was spending time alone in prayer, he prayed. Not only for the work that he came to do, but he prayed for his disciples a lot. The Lord Jesus prayed for his disciples a lot. That was an example he encouraged us to do. To pray for one another. Pray for one another. He says, I prayed for you and I understood what the devil wanted to do for you. But I prayed that it will not go through. So what the Lord Jesus was saying is, Simon Peter, you will deny me 3 times, but when you deny me, don't give up. Because the devil had already planned to use that against Peter. Maybe he wanted Peter to be exposed, and when he's exposed, they will take him along with Jesus for crucifixion. But Jesus said, nah, Peter has something greater for me. I have prayed for you, Peter, that when you will be encountered with this challenge, you will deny me. But when you deny me, don't give up. The Bible says, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And when he denied Jesus 3 times, he remembered the word that Jesus told him. And he went outside and he wept. He wept. When Mary Magdalene came from the tomb and told the disciples that the tomb is empty, they were confused. People, the Bible says, some of them took it as fairy tale. But remember, who left and went to the tomb? Simon Peter. Simon Peter ran to the tomb and got the confirmation. He ran because he had learned not to doubt what Jesus had said. Amen. Because when Jesus told him, "You'll deny me," he said, in his mind, I can never deny Jesus. But when it happened, he was shocked. He was shocked. And the Bible says, everything after that centered around Peter. Took them to the upper room when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Who spoke after that? It was Peter. It was Peter who spoke, and 3,000 people gave their life to Christ, right? Yes. All this happened because Jesus said, I prayed for you, Peter. The devil had seen what you would do. And he had fought for you to fall. But I said, no. I prayed for you. Brethren, we have to pray for one another. We have to pray for one another. The Bible encourages, there's a reason why the Bible is encouraging us to pray for one another. Because when I pray for you, it carries weight. Yes. Because when I pray for you, it's love I'm showing.
Yes.
And that love is what the devil could not beat. Mm-hmm. Remember, it is because of the love of Jesus to us that he gave his life for us.
Yes.
The love that you show to your brother by praying to him is what the devil cannot beat. Mm-hmm. And when God sees that love, God begins to put in you things that your brother and your sister, they are going through. And so when you get up in the morning and you're praying, don't only pray for yourself and your children and your family. Pick up a name. Say, Father, I thank you today for Deacon Moyua. I thank you for his life. I thank you for his family. I thank you for the wife. Thank you for the children. As you are praying for the wife, the Spirit will put in you, if she's going through anything, I'm telling you, the Spirit will put in you that there's something going on at her job site. Pray for her.
Amen.
And you begin to pray. And you begin to bind. Amen. You begin to open doors.
Amen.
Where the devil has orchestrated evil, you begin to scatter it.
Amen.
And that one, God listens and God says, yes.
Amen.
That is the modus operandi. That is the way it should be. That is the way I meant it to be.
Yes.
I meant that we pray for, my children pray for one another. Because when you pray for one another, you cannot gossip about your brother.
No.
Can you gossip about the brother you pray for?
No.
When the brother comes and tells you, you see what that sister did? You say, which sister is that? Oh, Sister Ngozi now. You did not see what Sister Ngozi did? Sister Ngozi? Oh, no. The other day I was praying for Sister Ngozi. And the Holy Spirit told me Sister Ngozi was going through something. And I prayed for her until I had peace in my spirit.
Amen.
If that brother has one head. That will be the last time that brother will come and talk about another person.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is how it's supposed to be.
Amen.
So we should understand the way the devil works. The devil is a master strategist.
Yes.
You know, in Job, the Bible says, Satan also came when the children of God gathered. And so when he came, God has started boasting about Job, remember?
Yes.
So have you seen my son Job? And Satan was like, oh yeah, I've seen him. Is it not this favoritism you are showing? You've covered him and you've bundled him and I cannot even touch him. It's because you bundled him. It's not because of him. It's because you bundled him. But what I'm saying is, in the council of heaven, the devil showed up and challenged God. You think the devil is not showing up in the council of heaven? And challenging and telling God, let me touch your daughter. Let me touch your son. You think he doesn't have those kind of initiatives or plans? He does. He does. But we have a weapon that we have been given,
yes, hallelujah,
that he cannot counteract. A church that prays for one another is a healthy church.
Yes.
It's a healthy church.
Yes.
It's a church where when you pray for a brother and the Holy Spirit tells you, yes, that brother you are praying for maybe has not even eaten for 2 days. When you see him today in church, squeeze something in his hand. Squeeze it. And because it's the Holy Spirit ministry, when that brother gets that money, you don't know the joy in his heart.
Yes.
You don't know the fulfillment in his heart. He will thank you and bless you. The blessing that you could not bless yourself, that brother will bless you.
Amen.
You can bless yourself this much, but the blessing that comes from a third party is powerful.
Yes.
The blessing that comes from a third party is what Jacob and Esau, remember? It's what Jacob, the mother of Jacob, sought for Jacob. See, if the father blesses my son, my son is blessed indeed. I remember when he blessed Jacob, what did he tell Esau when Esau came and said, no, I was not the one you blessed. He said, oh, Esau, I have blessed your brother. And he has been blessed indeed. You have to serve him. I cannot, there's nothing I can do. Jacob could not bless himself like that. He could not. So we have to develop an attitude of praying for one another, brethren. We have to develop this attitude, because when we develop this attitude, we have won.
Amen.
We will become a winning church.
Yes.
A winning church where we don't mind about, you know, what a brother is doing or has said. We do not. We begin to fight the real battle, which is to bring people into the kingdom.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
It's to bring people into the kingdom. We will gather and pray for souls. Amen. We will not gather and pray for your problems. Because in our own quiet time, while we were praying for you, God revealed to us your problem.
Yes.
And so when we come gather together as a church corporate prayer, we pray for the uplifting and the building of God's church.
Yes.
Amen. We begin to pray for doctors to come here. We begin to pray for lawyers. We begin to pray for students.
Yes.
We don't pray for fire that caught in your house. We don't pray for your child that got sick. Because God has already used us to pray for those problems.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the Bible says, be sober in 1 Peter 5:8. As our pastor said, be well balanced. Sober. Well balanced. Meaning that you understand. You can identify when this operation. Who is behind this operation? Amen?
Amen.
Be sober, well balanced. If somebody comes to you with something, with a well balanced mind, you are able to discern that this is of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
If you are going through a situation, you are able to understand that this is of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can identify it.
Yes.
You know, Jesus told Peter, get behind me, you Satan. When he told him that he has to be crucified. But now, Peter knew he was doing out of emotions. But Jesus saw behind it. Because Jesus had a well-balanced mind. He knew and understood how the devil operates. Okay? And he did not take offense against Peter. He identified the problem itself. For those of you who are in IT, there's what they call RCA, which is a root cause analysis. Well, when there's a problem, we fix the problem. But that's not the end. What do? We go behind and say, why did it happen? Amen?
Amen?
Why did it happen? We identify why it happened. We fix that root cause so it doesn't happen again.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
So when Peter told Jesus, it cannot be. Jesus said, get behind me. Satan. He said, the root is not you, Peter. It's the devil. But why could he see it? Because he had a balanced mind.
Amen.
He was vigilant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He was vigilant. In that same Luke chapter 22, the Bible says Jesus took them to pray. And he told them, encouraged them to pray. Why? So they should not fall into temptation. He told them to pray that they should not fall into temptation. Still highlighting the fact that prayer is the key for us in this war against the devil. That we should not give. We should identify when the devil starts. We should be able to know that the situation we are going through, from the beginning, we should be able to identify that this is the devil, and hit it there so it doesn't go too further. Amen?
Amen.
You hit it there and say, look, this is the devil is behind this thing. Don't wait, you know, for those of you who played, there's a game they call draft. We call it in Cameroon draft. I don't know how you call it in the other parts of the world. It has black and white, then you squares, then you put, and then somebody eats, you know, you play an opponent.
Checkers
is a game of strategies. In checkers, somebody has already seen your game. He's putting traps. He's just putting traps, and you are eating, and you are happy. Say, I am taking it. You know, yeah, I'm taking it. He knows in his mind the end. He already sees it. He knows in his mind the end. As you are eating, he's happy, but he will never show you that he's happy. He wants you to enjoy. It's the end that matters. And before you know it, he has one remaining. But that one is in the position where it will scrape the whole. That one will come and take all of your points. And then before you know, you open your mouth and say, what just happened? What just happened is you were not vigilant. When it started, you did not identify that this move, let me not do this move. Same thing with chess. The grandmasters, you see how when you watch these grandmasters playing, they come into a hall and everybody has their chess boards on the table. The grandmaster just comes and makes one move. He just comes and he puts it like that. If you are smart, you look at it and you say, there's no way I can move and beat this man. Just that one move, he has crippled you. That's why they call them grandmasters, because in their mind, they already have seen the end. They know that if I put it here, the way your board is, there is no way you win. But the ordinary man has not seen it. We just look and we just accept what the man on the table is saying. I'm done. But you ask yourself, but you are done how? Then he will tell you that, look, that move that he made is a killer move. There is no way I can win this game. That's how the devil operates. That's how we ought to operate. We ought to be able at the beginning to identify this move. Oh, we know where this move is going. This is not a good move. If I make something, a mistake, I'm gone. And then you begin to engage. You begin to engage there and there. You begin to pray and break down and scatter and, you know, disrupt. Amen. Amen. You know, it says in Ephesians, we wrest in Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It's against spiritual wickedness in high places. This spiritual wickedness who have their plan. They already know the end. They say, okay, this is what we want. And if you don't know your own end and are able to identify, they are going to crush you. They are going to crush you. For every small opportunity they have, they are going to crush you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, brethren, this morning I want us to identify one thing. We should be balanced in the way we deal with the circumstances around us. We should be balanced. We should not be afar off. You know, the Bible, I don't know if I can pull it, but the Bible says Peter was afar off. Following the Lord Jesus Christ. He was afar off, alone. Because he was afar off, the Bible says there came a time it was cold, and so they had to sit down around the fire. It was then that lady said, but I recognize you. He was afar off, alone, and he was easily compromised. He could easily compromise. If he had a brother with him, John, let's say, when this lady had said, but we know you, John would have said, Peter, time don't reach for go. Make we run. Let us run. This is bad. This lady has identified us. Let us go. He had nobody. He watched afar off. And when the time came for him to stand, he said, I don't know this man you are talking about. I've never been with him. Never. Lie, no way. And he lied 3 times because he was alone and a foreign from afar off. Now, their believers today will follow from afar. They are comfortable with just being, you know, in their area, calm, and allow others to do their thing. And they just go along with the wave, with the motion. And many of such believers are those ones when they are caught in a compromising situation, they give in. Because there's nobody, no relationship you can lean on. You know, you face a situation where you cannot even call a brother or a sister and say, this is what I'm going through. Can we join hands together and pray for it? You know, and this brother prays with you, this sister prays with you, or the pastor prays with you. You don't do that because you are far off in the body of Christ. You have not identified yourself to be one with that body actively. You are just passive. Like the Bible says, you are lukewarm. Because even out there, when you go out there with the world, you cannot even entertain their own discussions when they are discussing about whatever their exploits are. Because you don't have those kind of exploits, you cannot even discuss. And even if you have such exploits, you don't want to do it there because you already said you are a believer. They know you as a child of God. So you are just lukewarm. You cannot identify as an unbeliever, even as a believer, you can identify but from afar. And the devil loves people like that. Those are the people the devil is looking for. Those who are far off, who are exposed. When he comes with things around, he knows. He's a master chess player. He already knows the move he will give you. And that move, he knows that when he gives you, because you don't have a support, you know, system, you are going. You are going. We should not serve God from afar. Praise the Lord. We shouldn't serve God from afar. In the household of God, there's a lot of things to do. Amen? A lot of things to do. You know, Pastor always exalts our youths behind there who are helping. Isn't it wonderful? It is wonderful. When you see young men, young women in God's service, that's how it's supposed to be. If you are a youth here, and you are just there looking and allowing others to work, and you are not working, I challenge you today. Get involved. Amen?
Amen.
Get involved.
Amen.
You will not regret it. No. Fulfillment in the service of God is the best thing. Amen. Especially as a youth. I used to carry benches. Benches. We used to have our first, when I gave my life to Christ, we used to have a service in a pastor's living room. It was a makeshift, you know, worship center where Sundays you have to go early in the morning and remove those sofas, shift them, carry benches, put them there, arrange the PA system, which was an interesting PA system. There was no guitar, there were drums. You have to conga, you know. And I remember you had to be first and you had to leave last. Because after everybody has come and worshiped the Lord, received the word of God and greeted, you know, you have to wait for them to leave. And when they leave, you cannot leave the pastor's house like that. You have to go and remove these benches, put them outside, put the sofas back and arrange, wipe everything. And then you hold your Bible, you whistle while you're going home. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You know? And you're happy. I mean, very happy. It's a Sunday. Monday, you go to school. Oh, man. You are so happy. You can understand your mathematics. Amen. God gives you the grace. Because God will never leave you alone. If you serve him, there is no way. Then he doesn't lie. So if you are a youth here today, don't be afar off. Go and ask how you can help. Amen?
Amen.
Go and ask how you can help. If you see an aunt or an uncle sweeping, don't pass by. You know, go to them and say, no. Give me this broom. Let me do the vacuum. Go take care of your son, your child. Amen?
Amen.
Go do that. You serve. Don't serve from afar, youths, please. The household of God has a lot, too much work. Too much work. Even Jesus said, pray ye that the Lord will send laborers. Amen.
Amen.
Pray ye that the Lord will send laborers. So we cannot be in the household of God and begin to expect that others have been called to be deacons to work, to do all the work. Praise the Lord. You should not allow our Pastor Emmanuel to be taking the remote control and turning all these TVs. Somebody should just say, Pastor, relax. Go minister to the people, fellowship. Give me the remote. How do we do it? Now, only for points, just to point now and press. That's it now. It's just to point and press. They even El Nathan, Ebune, can do that. Right? He will just press. Turn off the fans. That is the beginning of service. You are shaping up your mind to begin to serve in God's house. You know that you are not supposed to be idle. And that thing that you develop in the church, you take it in school. When they give you homework, you will know that you have to come and do it before you play. You will do it without your parents saying, "Did they give you homework? Do your homework." Amen?
Amen.
Because you have started learning how to do work in the house of God.
Yes.
We learned all discipline in the house of God.
Yes.
We learned to serve. We learned to give in the house of God. We were giving when we were in school. You know? We were not compelled to give. We gave because we wanted to. That was how we were showing our love to God. That is how we were doing it. We were telling God, "You gave. This is a little I can give back." Nobody compelled us. Say, "You must give." No. So you learn these things while you are young, and as you grow, it becomes a way of life that you impact in others. And as you are in school, people will come. I don't know why the Holy Spirit is directing me to the youth this morning. But we thank God because I see a lot of youths here this morning. And future youths. Hallelujah. But that's what you do. And you begin to do this and begin to train yourself to be disciplined in every aspect of your life. Every aspect of your life. Challenges come your way because you have a disciplined mind. You are able to sit down and have a balanced mind and say, "How do I go about this? You know, how do I go about it? How do I go about this?" I remember there was a time in mathematics, there was a math question they gave me, assignment they gave me once I was in high school. And that thing was like magic to me. I went and met one of my uncles who was very strong in math. I told him that this is what they are giving us. He looked at it and said, "But he has never seen this one before." I said, "Then it's bad. It means I have failed this thing." You know? But I was good in math. And then after I was depending on him. He could not deliver. He could not. And so I sat down and I said, "Let me see what is going on here." And I was reading. Lo and behold, this was revelation. Their formulas were just fitting together. Everything was fitting together. And then I looked and said, "Oh my goodness. Is this how simple this thing was?" But because I had put in my mind that I will go and look for help. It's too difficult. I limited God. Amen? I limited God. But when I sat on my own and I said, "Let me look at this. Father, help me here." It began to make sense. And I went and when I gave it, I knew I had it. And the teacher marked it and I had everything. And then I understood what was going on. I was able to teach my classmates. I said, "This is what they are talking about here. This is it. This is how you do it." Praise the Lord. Sober-minded.
Amen.
Sober-minded.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I would like us to open 1 Kings 13. There's a story there which really kind of highlights something about God and the way God operates. In 1 Kings chapter 13, sorry, I find it difficult to share the word of God without going through the Old Testament. I don't know why, but the Old Testament has some deep revelations which if we follow those ordinances, there's no way you fail. There's no way you fail. You know, the people of the world don't understand this. The Jewish people are blessed. The Jewish people are blessed. Why? Because they have this word of God, this Old Testament that they follow. that has principles and ordinances which, if you follow, you are guaranteed success. Yes. And so the world is confused why the Jewish people are always blessed. If you think the Holy Spirit was ministering to me that history always repeats itself. If you think the Jewish people being killed during the Nazi Germany was the first time, oh no, it wasn't. It's in the Bible, and even the one that is not in the Bible is there. That the Jewish people, wherever they went, their success triggered jealousy and anger. That's what happens. And they don't struggle. They do what they are supposed to do. And God blesses them.
Yes.
That's just it. Mm-hmm. So these principles that are in the Old Testament are principles that if you study them and you apply, their blessings will flow. Whether you like it or not.
Amen.
That's in the physical. The physical. The blessing. Hard work is there in the Bible, in the Old Testament. You know, strategy, planting season, and all those things, they are there in the Bible. In 1 Kings chapter 13, yes. Say, and behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Just to give us an understanding of what's going on here. Jeroboam was the king of Israel. When Solomon died, his son Rehoboam became king. But Solomon was the king of Israel, Judah and Israel, and Benjamin. But when he died, Rehoboam, for some reason, decided to get counsel from his peers instead of the people who had been there, you know, during his father's term. And so part of Israel said, no, we have nothing to do with David's house. And so they became on their own. And so they brought Jeroboam from Egypt to be their king. And the Bible says this man did what was not supposed to be done. This man raised altars. He brought priests who were not Levites. And all he just did the wrong things. The wrong things. And so God sent the prophet to go and meet him in Bethel. He had these two cities where he had built altars so people should come there instead of going, you know, to the city of David where there was the altar. He was afraid that if you go there, you might just change your mind. So he had one in Bethel and he had the other one in Dan. So the Bible says when he came and he met Jeroboam, Jeroboam was burning incense. Can we go to 2? Say, and he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. 3. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is a sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. Praise the Lord. So he came and gave his prophecy to Jeroboam. And then he told Jeroboam, there's a sign. This is a sign that will happen. And if you go down, you will see that thing that he said, that sign happened there and there. It happened. But why I'm bringing this is that God told these prophets to go and proclaim this prophecy. And gave him a condition that when you fulfill this prophecy, you speak it out, come back straight to your house. They will offer you food, don't take. They will offer you drinks, don't take. Just come back. Okay? So he did all this thing. And he confirmed that was what God had sent him to do. He had finished. But what I want to say is, but why did God ask him not to eat or not to drink? Told him, come back. God's ways cannot be updated or patched. Amen? When God gives an ordinance or a decree, an order for you to do, follow it to the letter.
Yes.
Amen? Don't play with it. don't. There are many people who have fallen from grace because along the line, they missed what God had told them to do. They missed it. We should be able to identify and learn and listen to God's word in our hearts and be able to fulfill it no matter what. Because the Bible says this man, this prophet, an older prophet came and met him and lied to him. Say, an angel of the Lord gave me a word that you should come to my house and eat and drink. The mistake that the prophet did was, yes, the angel of the Lord told you, but I have not gotten that confirmation. Amen. The angel of the Lord told you, but I have not gotten that confirmation. I will tarry. Doesn't hurt. I will tarry for the God who gave me that word to confirm what you are saying. And when the God who gave me that word confirms, then I will come to your place. He did not do it. Why? Because he saw an older prophet. A man in front of him, he believed that this man was a man of wisdom and he had to respect the man. He went with the eyes and he obeyed this man. The Bible says when he finished, he saddled his donkey and he went. Along the way, a lion came and killed the man. The lion did not chop the donkey. He did not eat it. Just the man. And the Bible says the lion also did not run away. The lion just sat there as to say, I have finished my assignment. Animals know how to finish their assignment because they do it without asking. Okay? He remained there and people saw it. People saw a lion and they saw a donkey and they saw a dead man. And in their head they are like, what is going on? How can a lion eat a man and there's a donkey? If he was a hungry lion, kill that donkey now and eat. Why is he not eating it? But it was a sign that God was showing to the people. Don't disobey my ordinances. God is not Apple phone where they give you an update every month. They will come and they will update and say, okay, this update, this is what it will do. There are some vulnerabilities in our system. We notice that somebody could enter into your system and then come out and all that stuff. God does not do updates or a patch. God does not do patches. God gave him an order. Say, go and prophesy to Jeroboam. He did his offer. He did it. But he did not complete it. The devil came in and played chess with him. He did not see that move. And the Bible says he was buried. Even where he was not supposed to bury, to be buried. That was a prophet. And the pride of people in those days was, as you grow up, you build your own burial place, your own tomb. Remember, even Jesus was buried burial tomb. It was pride for people that if you died, bury. Even Abraham had said, bury me here. Jacob died and said, take me and bury me in that tomb. Right. Amen. But this man was not buried where he wanted to be buried. The Bible says when that older prophet came and saw him and he told his sons, what that man said is true. Josiah and his priest, they will be killed. Took him and buried him in his own tomb. Because he did not follow through. But we have been called to understand the ways of the devil. We have been called to understand the ways of God. If God tells you to do something, follow through. God is not a God of halfway. You know, even Jesus. Jesus said, if this cup can be taken away from me, but then he said, not my will, but I will be done, Father. If this cup, can you update my assignment, Father? Jesus said, can you update my assignment? I need an update, Father. God said, there is no update in my kingdom. what has happened, what has been established must happen. Praise the Lord. And even Jesus, the Son of God, could not alter God's plan. There's no way we can. When God gives you an assignment, if it's for service, go through your service. If God tells you to bless somebody $100, don't give $50. Give him $100. If God tells you to do something, there's always a reason why he asks you to do it. If you do God's plan and God's purposes, there's 100% fulfillment. That's a mystery and the goodness of God. The thing is, when God tells you to give, especially, I have noticed, if God tells you to give something to somebody and you give it, there is some joy and fulfillment in you. That joy just bubbles in your heart. You don't even think about what you've given. You are just happy that you've blessed somebody. Right? You are just happy that you've blessed somebody. So if God says, give, don't begin to rationalize and say, no, this is, let me see if I can first give this. You know, that's not how it goes. Praise the Lord. Be sober and well balanced in your mind. Be vigilant. Resist. Be steadfast. Because the Bible says the devil goes to and fro, seeking for who to devour. He goes, doesn't sleep. There's no reason for us to sleep. Amen?
Amen.
There's no reason for us to sleep. There's no reason for us to adopt the way of the world. There's no reason. The world can have their own arguments. They can have what they have. You know, that's what, where they are comfortable, that's what satisfies them. That's not what satisfies you. At the end of the day, when you are with God, God will ask, what have you done for me today? Okay? That's what matters. And so we should redirect our focus to God. Fellowship with the brethren. Assignment in God's house. What can we do to send, you know, to move the kingdom ahead? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Again, we should be sensitive enough to be able to stop him at the beginning. When you get up in the morning and your children are going to school, you lay your hands on them and bless them and say, Simon, you are a blessed child. As you go out today, you are going with God's protection and God's blessing. Evil will have no way around you. And you prophesy over them because you have that authority to do so. And tomorrow, after 1 week, one day, you will forget. And Simon will come and say, Daddy, I'm going. My kids do that to me. Daddy, I am going. And in my head, I'm like, okay, he wants me to pray. Because they know that that's a prayer way. That's how we have been doing it. And you tell them, you are the head and not the tail. You shall succeed. Okay? You are a child of purpose. You have something to do, accomplish in this world. And so he goes with the confidence to take this world. You know, praise the Lord. We should be well balanced. We should be vigilant. We should be on our guard because the devil is not asleep. You know, in a confession, it says, I have authority of, you know, I have authority over this. You wake up in the morning and you tell the devil, Satan, I have authority over my kids. I have authority over this home. Nothing you do will prosper. Nothing you do will succeed.
Amen.
Nothing you do will succeed. And you begin to speak and say, enough. When you see cycles that begin to happen in your family, you stand and you say, enough, enough. Satan. Enough. Amen. I have authority over this.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I have authority over this.
Amen.
Like the pastor said, gather your family, break bread.
Amen.
And you say, this is it. We put an end to this. We have authority over this. We have authority over this. We understand your ways. We understand your moves. We identify that this situation, it is you, the devil. So now like this, we say enough. Stop it. We have authority over this. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let's go out there and be sober. And be vigilant. Hallelujah. Somebody said, if you want something to go through, repeat it like 7 times. Be sober and be vigilant. Amen. The days are evil out there. Be sober and be vigilant. Hallelujah. Amen. Read your word, the word. Read the word. Pray. Pray for one another. Pray for one another. In so doing, you render the devil useless. He doesn't want it. Trust me. The devil does not want us to pray for one another. He doesn't. He will slap you with problems that by the time you finish praying for problems that you're going through, you are tired. You don't even think about another person. I am telling you, that is what he does. Make it a habit to pray for one another. Amen. Take families. Amen. If you don't know names of children, take it. Ask. Put it there. Today is Monday. This is Pastor Emmanuel's day. And you pray for him. Today is Tuesday. This is Brother Fuenge's family's day. You pray for them. And as you are praying for them, everything they are going through, I am telling you, God will show you. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you are becoming a watchman. Yes. And because you have identified yourself as a watchman, God has no choice but to tell you what they are going through. And then on Sunday, when you see them, you don't go and tell them, I prayed for you. You just smile and greet them. And when you greet them, the Spirit will minister to them. Amen. That there is some love out of this greeting. Yes. There will be an embrace that you will be like, this is good. Amen. There's something I cannot understand, but that brother prayed for you. Amen. That sister and the family prayed for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Be sober and be vigilant. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand up, please. Yes. Hallelujah.